Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I'm excited once again. First service, I was excited. I'm just as excited for second service because you guys got more sleep, so you should be more, you know, ready to go, you know. If you got to shout me down, you can. Amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, whatever, or with a D, Lord. It's up to you. My favorite, you know, tell the truth and shame the devil. That's my favorite one. You yell that one out, you'll get me going. But I'm excited this morning to share with you little something that started the past couple weeks in the youth. It kind of turned into a series unintentionally. This last Wednesday I preached, and the Wednesday before that I preached, and the message is tied together. Well, this morning I've kind of taken almost a part three. It ties in both those weeks as well as some new things into it, but I need to preface this message with what I talked about the very first week in youth, which was a message I entitled Stay Woke. It's a phrase these days. I don't know how old it is, but I don't know if I need to explain it or not. You never know if it's a young phrase or an old phrase, because there's things I come home and I'm like, I say it, and then my dad's like, that's been around since, you know, I used to say that to dinosaurs. And I'm like, I'm just kidding. No, but stay woke. Basically what that is when you receive information that you did not know and it changes your perspective on something. The person that first invented sliced bread, they grabbed a loaf of bread and they said, you know, you could cut this in slices. Stay woke. You know, it changes the game. It just changes it. You know, that's what it is. And so I believe every time that we come to a Sunday service, a Wednesday service, our Bible study, or whatever it may be, we are to take that and stay woke. It is new information. It is a new experience that takes us further in our faith and our walk with the Lord that changes our perspective and allows us to stay woke. So that was the very first sermon in a nutshell. See, we can keep messages under a couple hours. But that was the first week, the first part was stay woke. So this morning I want us to remember that because I believe the message this morning is important. It's all part of the battle, all part of the struggle, and that's what I want to start with is this spiritual war that I believe is going on. As the Bible tells us, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it is spiritual, it is supernatural, it's against the principalities of darkness and all these different things. And this is that time of year where this just really resonates with me, because we're going to be starting our Halloween series in the youth department. And by Halloween series, I don't mean celebrating it. I mean why we don't celebrate it. Now, don't take that as judgment upon yourself. That's not what I'm up here doing. But I like to inform the students of that battle, that spiritual battle that we all face, and why Halloween contributes to the darkness based on biblical teachings as well as things over time, and it allows them to stay woke. It's going to play in later too. But see, this spiritual battle, it reminds me of a story when I was, you know, in fifth grade in just shy of Canada, Minnesota, a town called Hibbing. It's, you know, almost a Canada. That's why I call it that. And going to school in the morning in elementary school, they would have like a little recess time before school. But see, it reached right around negative 40, negative 50, so they finally brought us inside. And no, they didn't close school then. That's not what they do. It's just that cold all year. And so one of my friends, this is not a lie. I can't lie from the pulpit, obviously. One of my friends, you know, wet his hair, got to school, came off the bus, and he's like, my hair's frozen, look, and he snaps a piece of his hair off. I'm not kidding you. He snapped it right off, and it's ice, but it's his hair. It's like a cartoon. But it legitimately happened right before my very eyes, and we went and said to the teacher, can we go to the gym, please? You know, his foot fell off, his hair broke. I mean, no. But we make our way into the gym, the school, and we're playing a game called, well, people call different things jackpot or 500. You take the ball or the football and you chuck it down there. You give it a point value, and whoever catches it gets that point value. You know, I'm not going to – the sermon's not about how to play jackpot. So, but we were playing that game. And this one little kid, he was short. His name was Gunner. And the dude was, he was a nice kid, but that day he was a lunatic. He must have had a little extra syrup on his waffles, something. He was going nuts. He was on a sugar rush. Maybe he had coffee. I don't know. But he was going nuts, running around, pushing people, grabbing the ball, like doing all sorts of things in the gym. And finally, I don't know why he picked me, maybe because I was the small kid. I wasn't, like, super short, but I was skinny, you know, the turn sideways and disappear kind of skinny. Things have changed. But he picks me, and he runs, and he tackles me and puts me on the ground. Now, I'm not ready for this. Even if I was, I was so small, there's no way I would have been able to stay up. And he was so fast. But he starts swinging, but the thing is his arms are wrapped around me, so he's not really hitting me. It's like an aggressive hug. I'm sitting there, I'm kind of laughing, I'm looking around at everybody, and nobody's helping me. I was like, I mean, this is funny, but can we stop? Like, I don't feel comfortable with this. But he's swinging at me, and I'm just, you know, sitting there, and I'm like, okay, this is getting kind of annoying. So I kind of get up, I'm not going to do anything, and I start getting up and getting away from him. I mean, he's kind of short, so, you know, just hold him out there. But he ends up, you know, keep swinging. Well, now he's further away from me, so his punches are actually landing. They're not wrapping around me. They're actually hitting me. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, okay, finally, you know what? I thought to myself, what would Randy do? And that's when I took the kid, put him up against the wall, and punched him right in the face. And I'm not condoning violence. I'm not saying we should run around and punch people. Remember, Scripture says it's not against flesh and blood. Okay. Now, I'm clarifying. Don't take me out of context now. I got to cover my bases before I get a parent. My kid went to school and punched somebody because they said they don't believe in God. That's not what I'm saying. Now, I punched him in the face, and he stopped. Everybody was like, and, you know, because it was just, you know, it was crazy. It was just all happened so fast. But I punched him, and he stopped, and he came up to me later at recess, and he's like, hey, man, I'm sorry. I hope we're cool. And then me and him went and, you know, played football. So everything was fine. You know, if it was girls, it might have went differently, but that's guys. We just moved right along. But this brings me to my first point today, is though we are sheep in the flock of the Lord, we are not meant to just sit there and take it. Whatever spiritual battle you go through, whatever adversity you face, whatever struggle you have in your life, whatever stronghold is there, whatever you face, you are not meant to just sit there and take it. We were meant to fight back. That's why it says the battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual. It's telling us, yes, there is a war. Guess what? A war isn't a war unless both sides are fighting. We need to fight back. Now, once again, you don't run around and punch people. That's not it. But there's a reason the Bible tells us about the armor of God and the sword. That is how we fight back. We can't just sit and take it anymore on, oh, God will save me. I'm just going to sit here and let this spiritual darkness surround me, and hopefully God will show up and save me. He's like, yo, I gave you the armor. I gave you a sword. He might not use the word yo, but I gave you the sword, which is the word. I gave you prayer. I gave you worship. I gave you each other in the church. You got to fight back. You got to fight back. But one of the biggest reasons we're not fighting back is because we're not free. I mean, you know, understand. It reminds me of a lion that's in captivity. A lion that's in captivity. I'm not talking about, you know, the really nice you know, in their own habitat type captivities. I'm talking about he's in the cage. Oh, there's a wall. Go over here. Oh, there's a wall. I'm going to go over here and just pace him back and forth. You know, when they take that lion out into the wild and they put it where it's, you know, home in Africa, there you go. That lion paces. Oh, this is where the wall used to be. And just keeps going. This is where the wall used to be. And it just paces for a while. It just paces for a while. Just back and forth in that same spot, same distance, like it's still in a cage, even though all the freedom is still there. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. When we accept God into our life and we become disciples and children and followers of Him, the Spirit rests upon you and there is freedom in your life. You no longer are in captivity, so quit pacing like you are. Quit pacing like you're still in captivity. Step outside of that, because as soon as that lion's like, yeah, oh, whoa, there's no wall here. There's no wall here. Uh-oh. Wait, is there a wall on this side? There's no wall. Uh-oh. You know what lions do? They just tear apart things, man. That's why I love them. Favorite animal. Man, you throw something in with a lion, it's not going to like wonder. It's just going to go over there and kill it. What? You're alive? No, you're not. That's a lion. This lion, all of a sudden, oh, there's no wall here. Same way in our spiritual life. Part of our fighting back is stepping outside of that captivity, is stepping outside of that cage that we are in. That cage is this cultural and society of this world that leads us to believe, and why it's so dangerous is because it's a cage, it's bondage, but they make us believe it's a good thing, that it's safe, that it's comfortable, that it's okay. But it's not. A hungry Christian is a healthy Christian. I told my students, I said, who is somebody that eats? Is somebody that's hungry. Who drinks? Somebody that's thirsty. Who wins? Somebody that's a winner. Not your third place participation award. Trust me, I got plenty of them. I'm not speaking from a high and mighty point on that one. I'm just speaking from, you know what, at some point you learn to just get better. Who wins? Winners! So who acts free? Free people. Free people. So why, though we are free because the Spirit of the Lord rests upon us, why are we not acting free? Free people do free things, and I don't mean like for free. I mean they do things freely. They go out and they have freedom. There's nothing holding them back. I've had people come up to me and talk to me about volunteering in youth ministry, or I go and approach them and they tell me all about their history, and they used to be a youth leader, but now, well, this is what happened the first time. The leader was like this. The students, really, my relationship, my this, that. That's just bondage. That's just the cage holding you in. That's right where the enemy wants you. That's how you lose the fight. Because there is no sitting still in Christianity. There's no sitting still in following God. Following means you're like, you're following, you're moving. A hungry Christian is a healthy Christian. You got to be ready to eat. Showing up on a Sunday, on a Wednesday, our Bible study, our worship time, we show up and we're hungry. We want that next step with God. We knock down the walls and we go outside of that. We move outside of the walls that are around us, because they're not there when we have the Spirit of the Lord. Those walls are not there. We are able to live freely. I mean, we're pacing back and forth. All of a sudden, wait a second. I can actually open my Bible up on a Monday? Whoa! There's no wall there. What? There's no wall there. What? I can actually read my Bible other days of the week. All of a sudden, oh my word, there's an app on my phone that's the Bible. Whoa, now I'm really going out there. Because, I mean, I know there's a lot of old school people that, you know, you want the pages. I mean, you want to be able to flip through and know all this stuff and know where the... I get that. Trust me, I'm that way. But I got to be honest, this doesn't fit in my pocket. And I'm sorry, I use my hands during the day for different things. I move things around. I can't carry a Bible with me everywhere. So it's nice to have it on my phone sometimes. And then all of a sudden you realize on your phone, you can download different versions. Uh-oh. They also have the audio versions of them on that app. Oh my goodness, now we're deep sea diving. We're way out of the zone. All of a sudden, wait, you're telling me you can set an alarm on the YouVersion app that sends you a Bible verse at a certain time every day? Now we're going into space. This is outrageous. If you don't know how to set it up, talk to me. I'll teach you. There's no excuse. Oh, my word. Oh, my word. I can pray outside of my three meals a day? Whoa! I can, wait, whoa. You got to be kidding me. This can't be true. I can pray for other people, not just my own needs? Oh, my word. Wait, hold on. You say I could pray for people to be healed and they'll be healed? Okay, settle down. The bondage. The cage. We got to get out of that. Because that's our weapons. That's how we fight back. And as long as we are encaged, as long as we are handcuffed, we're not fighting. You're losing. You're losing. There is freedom with God. There's freedom. Packers play at 12. Nice bondage. And hey, I'm not up here as in, you know, I'm not a football fan. No, my Texans play at 12, trust me. And fantasy football. I'm in a league with my brother-in-law. I need to beat him. That's all year. Oh, you remember when? Oh. I care, okay? So I'm not preaching from a judgmental point of view saying, you Packer fans, even though I despise the Packers. Oh, I just ruined the whole message. Bondage! That's just a cage. That's just a cage. I just saw a video the other day of a guy, young kid. He might be younger than me or the same age. He's a multimillionaire. He has a $300,000 Mercedes G-Wagon. The thing got broadsided by some lady who turned left when she wasn't supposed to. Oh, my word. And it got stuck, so when she backed up, it ripped. Oh, I don't want to think about it. The dude gets out, and he's like, yeah, I hit my head on the window, but you know what? Hey, what's going on? And he's just, what? That's a $300,000 vehicle, and you're just... And you could say, oh, it's because he's a multimillionaire. I'm telling you, that's still going to be a hit. And he says it's just material things. I don't like to get upset about that. It's the bondage. Oh, I would have been. Ooh, there's no telling. my vehicle ain't worth $300,000. It's bondage. It's a cage holding us back. There is hope and freedom in Jesus' name. And there is freedom with God and His Spirit. We are to be free. Free people do free things. You can judge a tree by its fruit. And I'll tell you what, if we were truly free, I think our worship might look a little different. Because free people do free things. And if you're not doing free things, then, are we actually exercising that freedom? Are we really free? The freedom's there, but are we stepping out of that cage? Are we going beyond the walls that used to be? Where society and the culture, first service, I was going to tell them, like, worship, you know, hit the folks. Do something like dab, I don't know. But with the crowd we had, I was thinking, you know, they might want to do the twist instead. But I'll let that one settle for a minute. But, free people do free things. How's our worship going to look? It's going to look a little different. Free people do free things. How's our Wednesday night going to look? Free people do free things. What's our prayer on Sunday nights going to look like? When you realize all of a sudden, wait, there's prayer on Sunday nights? What? You're outside your box already. It's hard to leave that box. It's hard to leave that cage because society has made it so it's comfortable. It feels like it's a safe place, but I'm telling you, as part being a Christian, it is the worst place you could be in. It's the worst. A hungry Christian is a healthy Christian. You got to eat. You got to eat. You got to feed. Beyond the Sunday. Beyond the Wednesday. The Monday, the Tuesday, the Thursday, the Friday. You can have worship anywhere. There's a story that I really like, and I'm going to use it this Wednesday when I get a chance to speak at Sparta High School to all the freshmen on Wednesday morning. I'm extremely excited and blessed by the opportunity to do so. So if you think of it, pray for me. And I know it's non-religious. I'm not going in there to preach. I know that. But I'm not worried because I'm still going to get them. They don't know where it came from, but they're going to hear it. I don't have to say Matthew 2:2. I could just say the principle. Not like the principle of the school, the biblical principle. I got to expand my vocabulary. But see, this is a story that I'm going to share with them in it. For you guys, I'm going to have spiritual injections in it. Because, we're in church. I can talk about God. For them, it's going to be a little different. And I preach this on a Wednesday, and it usually requires some crowd participation. But don't worry. I'm not gonna make you guys do it. It'd be really fun, though, to see some of you guys participating. But I'm not going to make you do it. But I want you to hear the story. Because, see, in no way am I going to contradict the fact that we are sheep in the flock and the Lord is our shepherd. But understand, Jesus is a lion of the tribe of Judah. And we got a little bit of lion in us. Jesus is with us. We got that power. He's there with us. He works through us. So, though we are sheep, we got a little bit of lion. Favorite animal, got to eat, shred them up. So the story starts with a lion cub. Just a wee lad, little lion cub. And the lion pride is attacked one day, and his family is being killed before his very eyes. Lion cub is really small, and the dad grabs him quick and throws him in the river. And right after that, his dad is slain. The lion cub floats down the river, makes it to shore, and gets pulled up by sheep. And it's just a lion cub. He barely remembers anything. And so growing up, he starts getting a little bit older, and he sees the sheep, and bah, bah. He's like, I'm kind of getting hungry. And he sees them, and they start munching on grass. So the lion's like, okay. Starts munching on grass. Ugh. Bat. All of a sudden, the lion looks over. Bat. What kind of lion is that? Lions aren't supposed to. Whatever. So this lion, bat, munching on grass. Bat, munching on grass. Starts getting older and older. And these sheep, bat, munching on grass. This lion, bat, munching on grass. All of a sudden, another pride of lion shows up. This is the good part. You know what happens to them sheep? Steaks. Just rips them apart. Kills the sheep. Every last one of them. These lions come through and just shred everything. And they see this lion here. Yo, what's up, man? Bah. What? Excuse me? Bah. Munch on grass. You are a lion. What are you doing? What are you doing? Is it bad? Munch on grass. No, come over here. Shove some lamb in the mouth. Taste it. Oh, it's kind of good, but I'm a sheep. Bad. You're not a sheep. You're a lion. Come over here. And shows him his reflection in the river. And he sees that he's a lion. This is where the crowd participation would normally happen. Because the older lion says to him, you know what lions do? They roar. They don't bat. And so I would have you stand up and roar. But like I said, you won't have to. But that auditorium of freshmen are. He has him roar, and he finally starts believing and seeing that he is a lion. I want you to know we are not meant to just sit back and take it. This cage has you believing that you are nothing but a sheep. And I'm here to tell you, you're a lion. You got a lion inside of you. You got a lion behind you. You got a lion next to you. You fight the fight. You're free. The sheep just stay right there. The lion goes around and dominates. You are a lion. You were not meant to be in that cage. God has plans for you to prosper you, not to harm you. He's got plans for you in the future. Your dreams are just getting started. I'm telling you that. And I don't care how old you are. Oldest person in here, twice your age, I'm pretty sure Moses was freeing the people. There is no excuse. Excuses are just the cage. Wherever you are, you can do something great. You just got to get outside that cage. You got to be free. You got to accept the Lord and His Spirit in your life to allow you that freedom that allows you to fight back. We got to stop losing the fight. We got to start fighting back. Prayer, reading our Bible. Worship, coming to church. That's why I had them hold worship for the end. Because I wanted worship to be the way, not the way we end the service, but the way we start our new perspective. Stay woke. I just gave you the new information. I just gave you the new perspective. Stay woke. Every time we come in contact with God, His presence, His word, His spirit, we can be changed, renewed in our mind, renewed in our spirit, that allows us to be different, that allows us to change and grow closer to Him. Hungry Christian is a healthy Christian. We move forward. We eat. If you're not eating, you're dying. If you're not eating, you're dying. There's a certain freedom in worship. Because God inhabits the praises of His people, the Word tells us. So that's the first part of the equation here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So now let's merge here. He inhabits the praises of His people. What He inhabits, that means the Spirit is here. So then His praises, freedom. His praises He inhabits. Where His Spirit is with Him. So if He inhabits our praises, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's freedom. The worship team is making their way, and I want us to stay woke. I want us to fight. I don't want to see you lose. That's why I'm up here. Sharing this message. We can win the fight. We just got to step outside of our box, of our cage. Because if you follow God, the freedom's already there. You just got to make that step. And worship, man, there's where the freedom starts. You can, hey, I can lift my hands in worship? Whoa. Wait, I can clap? Whoa. If you want to do the twist, do the twist. You want to hit the folks? You hit the folks. Yeah, it was terrible. I don't, you know, I'm practicing. No, you, I'll tell you what, sometimes it takes that literal move. Free people do free things. Your worship, it shows. And that's not a judgment thing. It's not me coming down on you like, oh, I'm going to be watching you. Who's being free during worship? No, because I'm busy. I don't got time. I got to be free. I got to be free. That's why sometimes, you know what, in our comfort zone, that means we got to move away from the person we're next to. Wait, you mean I can worship without holding my spouse's hand?
Yeah.
Wait, you mean I can worship when I'm not right in front of my chair?
Yeah.
You mean that space at the front actually means something? It's an altar?
Yeah.
It's freedom. It's freedom. The best example of this I can think of is camp. Youth camp. Or you could probably name almost any youth conference, but when we bring them there, they're outside of their cage. They're somewhere new. They know barely anybody other than the group they're with. They really are outside their cage, like super far out. And you want to know what you see? Before the worship band ever comes to the stage, kids are ready up at the altar. The aisles are full. Kids don't want to be in their seats. The band comes up and they're ready. They're already clapping. They're clapping before the drums ever start. Some kids are lifting their hands. Some kids are kneeling. Because they're free. They're outside their cage. And they experience His presence. Altar call is made. Kids sprint to the front. I'm serious. You hear the chairs scrape on the floor because they're just taking off. You see kids get shoved to the ground. Then we do a pray for healing. And then get back up. Get up there. I'm telling you, the freedom that they have because they just get outside of their cage. We got to stop pacing back and forth. You're losing the fight. You're losing the fight. You're losing the battle. This is how you fight back, through prayer, through worship, through reading the word, through coming to church. And it has nothing to do with this building. It has to do with the person next to you. To encourage one another. To inspire one another. Because how do you overcome the enemy? By the blood of the Lamb. Jesus already did it. And the word of our testimony. Where are we sharing our testimony? It's here with one another. Finding the person that is out of the ditch that you are in. Because if you're with somebody that's in the same ditch, who's pulling who out of what? There's freedom in sharing. And worship is just the start. And this will overflow, I'm telling you. You ask for freedom in one area, God's just going to be like, okay, here you go. And he's just going to douse you. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm hoping for. And that's why we're starting with worship. Because I believe and I pray it's going to start with worship right now. Some of you are going to be more free than ever before. And then it's going to bleed over into your prayer life. And some of you are actually going to start praying beyond the meals, beyond just prayer time on Sundays. Pretty soon it's going to bleed over into the way you read your Bible. And pretty soon you're going to start texting your friends. And all of a sudden a Bible study starts. And you're not going to be concerned about who's running what Bible study. You're going to be more concerned about what is being shared and what God is giving you, because a hungry Christian is a healthy Christian. We're not going to be concerned with the person next to us. That's a cage. They lure us. It lures us. The enemy lures us into cages all the time. Oh, they're leading worship today? Yeah. Oh, that song's being played? Yeah. Oh, that Bible study is being by that person? Oh, it's that day of the week? That's my personal day. Ugh. Why do you need a personal day if you're always free with the Lord? I'll tell you what. 23 years of my life. And I'll be honest with you. This isn't just me talking out of my whatever. I've never seen a personal day for that man. I'll tell you what, I've only been doing this for 4 or 5 years. And I've taken a lot of personal days. I've never seen it. I've seen the start of one interrupted by a phone call. Because when you got the Lord, man, it's all there. The freedom, the hope, the love, the grace, the forgiveness, the strength, the confidence, the courage, the zeal, the passion. Man, you guys see me preach on a Sunday. This is me tame. Coming on a Wednesday. This is our chance. This is the start. And it's going to overflow. But guess what? Don't lie to yourself and say, all right, Lord, give me freedom. No. Move. Maybe you literally got to move. You got to change something up. This is your chance. This is worship. This is the time. And it's not about the hype. It'd be easy to go from this message to a bunch of fast songs, pump up, feel good. It's not about the hype. It's about letting God work. It's about letting his freedom overflow, because stepping outside that cage is, it's hard. It's where you've been. It's how you're comfortable. It's hard. It's going to be a process. But let it start now. Let freedom reign in this place. Would you stand up with me? I'm gonna I'm going to share a verse with you, and then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to just let the big dog eat. It's worship. Psalms 144:1. Praise. Praise. Worship. Praise. Praise be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. You were not meant to just sit there and take it. You got something going on in your life. This is how you fight back. Let the lion eat. Fight back. Let freedom reign. Don't sit in your cage.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.